Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast show number 500. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hey, Mitchell.
I'm so glad to be on the 500.
I'm honored to have you on the 500
show.
How did
I make the cut?
You just did because you're right upstairs.
Because I'm upstairs, I know. It's true.
Convenience. It's all about convenience.
All
convenience.
Listen, no, it's at my age, it's so about convenience.
Let me tell you,
and incontinence.
No, oh, well. Let's pause.
Just for a second. That was a bad joke, but I'm sticking
with
it.
I love it. Okay. You. All right. I like it. No, honestly, you know, I've known about this show coming up and I thought so many people said, what are you going to do? What is it going to be? And really, I got in touch with you and I said, I really just need a cohort to kind of help me reflect over, you know, 5 years of us being online radio, being a podcast and 500 shows and, you know, just what that has looked like. And, you know, I said, are you willing to be a part of the 500 show, because you've really been a part of pretty much the past 4 years of the podcast pretty consistently. You know, probably my most consistent.
And I'm probably the only one who got recognized on a cruise ship for it.
Yeah. I would say
I'm going to say that.
Are. It's probably true. I would say that's true.
In fact, those boys
that
I met on the cruise ship came to Megan's last show.
Yeah. That's
they
so cool. I love it.
Yeah, we've become friends.
I love it.
It's great.
So, you know, I kind of told Mitchell, I said, I want to make it just a little bit of a gushy show, and then we're definitely going to talk about a couple of topics and stories that are still kind of out in the ooh-ooh sphere. But, you know, I mean, it takes a village, even for a one-hour podcast, you know?
Right.
And there have been so many people, and how the whole idea for the podcast, no matter how you, you know, came to finding out about the Windy City Queer Cast, you know, there's kind of my life in radio has been since, gosh, 97, 98, something around there. And then, 97, I think. And then, you know, moving from radio into this online kind of free format. And, you know, it really, radio is done in seconds and minutes and because you have real estate, right? You have this time. And really what's been great is it's taken away all the boundaries. I remember, you know, one of our very first podcasts, Peter Maverick, who joined this little adventure with me and really was key in pushing us to take the radio on to the interwebs. You know, the first show Peter and I did, you know, like George Carlin's words, because I'd been on radio so long, you know, I'd never said shit on the radio or fuck. And
I remember the first time I did the show, I said to you, can I say anything I want? And you were like, yes. And I was like, fuck yes.
Right. I mean, you know, and it's not that, oh, we always have to, you know,
I do.
Cuss. You do. But I don't. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm the square. But it was just, there's that freedom. There's freedom that you're not controlling your talker, your the other people talking. interviewing the guests. You're not limited in how much time you can talk. Right. If an interview is going really great, you can keep it going. If it's not going great, you can go, okay, 6 minutes tells me everything I need to know about you, and I can get off.
Right. You know? Right. It only takes me about 6 minutes to get off, too.
Yeah, just six. Just, God, you're good today. You're in great form.
500!
Exactly. 500! I love it. So, but you know, it's true. It's like, there's just so much freedom that, you know, you don't have in a structure of FM, AM radio. And so I really want to thank, first of all, Peter Maverick for being the first person to co-host with me. And you know,
a funny son of a bitch.
A funny guy and just a technical genius at that time for me, and socially, you know, just socially so smart about what was going to happen with, you know, everything from, you know, just a lot of the ways in which now it's just,
yeah, he
kind of understood Facebook and
did.
Twitter and all of this
he
stuff
did.
Was going to be
he understood
podcasting.
Social media that yeah. we understand it now in a way that a lot of people didn't then.
Yeah,
he had some understanding that was going to happen.
He totally did, you know, and he was such a good friend. And Peter and I have just really not talked in years, and I wish him well, and I don't know exactly everything that's going on with him, but he was so seminal in the work that we've continued to try to do, and then what happened was, you know, we had lots of guests on, and as we had these different guests on, every now and again a guest would click. And then when Peter moved on and said, "Hey, Amy, I'm going to go do something else," and he's a great man of adventure.
I think he's a nurse.
He may be a nurse now. He's a great man of adventure, and he loved learning, you know, languages and new things. And but he, one of the people that I needed some co-hosts, and I thought, well, as opposed to just getting one co-host, why don't I bring on a bunch of different voices? And it was really important to me that it be male and female, mm-hmm. gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. That it be,
black and white.
Yeah. I have had very little people of other ethnicities, and I, you know, I can do better on that. And you know, you evaluate it 500, like how can we do better? But
I'm a Sephardic Jew, so I almost count as Latino.
I love it. Well,
almost, right? Because ultimately we're Spanish.
Exactly. So one of the first people, you know, I interviewed because the organization that he worked with Stephen Rader, and Stephen, funny Tennessee gay man, and Stephen started being one of our co-hosts, going around Chicago with me to go see theater, and we just had so much fun doing that, and him coming onto the show. I was at the time in a relationship with the fantastically talented and intelligent Kelly Simpkins, who had a much different viewpoint on the world than I did. She's not the most social butterfly, but has been a part of tons of activism and speaks really eloquently about that. One of the original creators of the Laramie Project. And
Kelly's a truly fascinating woman.
She's a really fascinating woman, and has really, you know, stared head on into GLBT issues and issues of gender, even more so than sexuality, I think. But her work with Matthew Shepard and the Laramie Project, you know, really instrumental, and also just calling my ass on the carpet, you mm-hmm. know, from time to time,
also
as a former girlfriend. And she funny. You know, one of my dear friends that I brought on as a you know, a transsexual voice, transgender voice to the show, Alexander Billings, one of our dear friends.
Very dear friends.
You know, was able to come on the show with us
now,
a lot and really consistently.
Funny.
If she were only funny, it would be helpful. no, but I think back with Alex, and I think back to one day when I said, "Alex, you know, can you do a little promo for me?" Because we have these little, you know, promos where it's like so-and-so says, you know, "Hey, it's Cindy Lauper, you're listening to the Windy City Queercast," or you hear those throughout the show. And I asked Alexandra, who was not doing Katie's Corner yet, but had always, since I'd known her, been doing Katharine Hepburn and her shows on Gentry and our Xena Live show and any chance she got, you know. And so she did the funniest Katharine Hepburn promo that I know continues to get rotated in as promos that play on our show.
Her Katharine Hepburn is the she will actually tell you that she's actually doing me doing Katharine Hepburn. She will tell you that. It's bullshit, but she will tell you that.
Well, I so strongly remember, you know, her coming on.
Alex
and
is a great voice
that.
To have. Alexa is a great voice to have because she's a female voice, she's a male voice, she's a transgendered voice, mm-hmm. she's an artist's yep. voice, and she's a comedian's voice.
Yep.
And so Alex brings a lot to a discussion of the things that are important to our community because she, in a way that very few of us get to do, has straddled, literally.
Yeah.
So many. I don't know why that made me laugh, but that was a good joke.
Thank you. It was funny.
So many parts of our community.
Yeah.
In a way, and
HIV/AIDS. Our conversations HIV/AIDS.
Does it with no tears for herself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? She does it with a humility and an honesty, and so she's to me she's always a welcome voice.
Absolutely. And she has as well not been on as much in the past couple of years, which has invited us
because
to
she's
bring
getting
in some
her
other friggin' people.
Masters.
But she's been in school. She's been, you know, she's been in LA now for a number of years and tried to stay with us for a while. But you know, maybe in one of our 2013 wishes can be, because 13 is my lucky number.
I'll just take her place.
Or you could just take her place. Or you could actually do Alexander Billings doing you,
yeah,
doing Katharine Hepburn.
When we lived together, uh-huh. people would call it, answer the phone. I'd answer the phone and be like, hi. So people had landlines.
Yeah.
And members of her family and or friends would just start to talk because they just thought that Alex and I were the same person because we have the same voice.
Yeah.
Our voices are pitched in the exact same place.
Yeah.
And so I could just – we used to talk about doing a bit where, like, there'd be this huge pretentious opening to one of her shows, right? Ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen, there'd be an overture. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one and only Alexandra Billings. And then I would come out, but I'd be backlit so you wouldn't know it wasn't her at first, like in full Alex drag, mm-hmm. and then just start the show, mm-hmm. and then have Alex come out like in a house coat
and
rollers.
And sit in the front row.
Or just like, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly. I love it. Let's do it.
That's fine.
2013.
Right.
Everything's right? happening in 2013.
Next time she sings live in Chicago, I'm going to enter as Alex.
I love it. Well, and you know, and if the world keeps on going, as it appears to be keeping on going, and the end of the world is not nigh, then we'll be good. You know, through my ex-girlfriend, Kelly Simpkins, we've already spoken about, I got to know this just very dashing, charismatic, African-American, sexy, out gay male, Coleman Domingo, who, when I met Coleman, was a regional theater actor, a New York actor who went on to be on the Big Gay Sketch Show. And right when he got on that, you know, he became a regular rotating co-host on our shows. And from that point on, you know, we got to celebrate his nomination of a Tony Award,
for Passing Strange,
which is fantastic. And you know, and he just recently is in, you know, the movie Lincoln. He's got a, you know, another show, you know, on Broadway. I mean, he's
ridiculous.
His career has just really taken off. Thus, like, I like to think that we actually help people achieve their dreams once they touch the QueerCast family gold. It's touching you because you're the QueerCast family gold.
No, literally,
Angel.
Amy's touching me right now.
I'm literally touching him. I'm holding his, well, you know.
My gold. My gold.
Your gold. Your golden globes. Which are coming
up soon. My
golden
staff.
Which are coming up soon. So, you know, Coleman Domingo, big thank you. You know, one of the people who started with us as well, when I said, you know, Peter Maverick and I began interviewing people and going, who do we want to have on the show? And, you know, I had heard from Ms. Cleo, you know, the person that we'd all known from the Psychic Friends Network, and that had kind of gone awry, and then she had come out, and kind of what her story was. And I got this correspondence from her that said, hey, you know, this is who I am. I would really love to maybe be on your podcast and kind of set the record straight. You know, it's about the only thing she wanted to do straight, but set the record straight. And we had Miss Cleo on, and it was really one of those interviews where you went, wow, I have just connected with somebody significant who needs to be heard. And so we invited her back pretty shortly after that first year of being on the QueerCast to do a prediction show. You know, I was like, why don't we just start our new year with you? Well, that's become an annual event now. Every year we have had Ms. Cleo on, and she'll be on here in just a couple of shows. Once we do, our next shows are going to be the year in review, and then we will have Cleo doing some predictions right after we send Mitchell off to
Parts unknown.
But Miss Cleo, now a part of our family, has been here for Windy City Gay Idol to judge that, you know, a couple years ago, has visited our city, loves our city, and is such a big fan of us at the QueerCast, and just has had so much gratitude for the opportunity to have a voice on our show, and I'm so grateful for her. Plus, it's super fun and freaky when she's so right about so many things.
I know.
Things.
I want her to do a private reading.
You should.
I need it.
You should. She's predicted, you know, all kinds of things with uncanny. She predicted the tsunami. You know,
she predicted the birth of my second child.
She predicted the birth of your second child. I'm scared. I don't even want to know what that is. And then, you know, through some of my travels, and I've been able to share as I've traveled to many places, whether it be recently to Italy and to Vancouver a couple years ago. And then I was invited to Toronto. And on the Toronto trip, I got to go and meet my butch counterpart, the lovely Deb Pierce, when she was on Proud FM in Toronto. And Deb and I were like kind of the only two gals on this whole media trip of all men. And that was her home turf, and we met, and we have stayed such good friends. And she said, you know, I'd love to come on the Queercast, and it's been a regular lesbian voice from the northern North Americas, and with her cute little oat and a boat. And we've watched her get married. We've watched her have a baby. And, you know, we just watched life happen.
Have you seen the pictures of this baby recently?
Oh, my God. Baby Jack is the cutest thing ever.
I mean, sweet Lorf.
Yep.
He's adorable. That is a cute ass baby.
Yeah, well, she's a pretty cute.
Oh, she's adorable. Little dyke, she's my crush.
I know, she's totally your crush. So you know, how amazing that you're like, oh, well, it's a queer radio show. And just real life shit happens, like getting married, right, having babies, you know, right, dealing with job changes, right, losing parents getting sick or dying, you know.
Right. Life.
Life happens. And hopefully we're just trying to share our lives with you all. Newest co-host to our show has been one of my dear friends for over a decade, the very talented and funny Mr. Scuduff. Scuduff. Hot Duff.
Hot Duff.
We love him, Scott Duff. And now
just
he's
last night?
my neighbor to the east, across the yard. So he's second most convenient person to you.
Exactly.
And hopefully he will fill in some
most
of your stead. And the second most incontinent. The first most gay. and Scott has been so much fun, whether he's talking about food or talking about that he is a buffalo and making buffalo noises after his
Scott Duff is
one
of the truth. You know, in the circus, we talk about funny, you know, there's clowns and funny people, and Jeff Jenkins in Midnight Circus. When we talk about people who are truly funny down to their core, Jeff will say that so-and-so has funny bones. Scott Duff has funny bones.
He does.
The minute you see him, you want to start to giggle. Not because he's funny looking. He's an extraordinarily handsome man. But I mean, it's like there's certain people.
He's just on.
There's just something about certain people. They have funny bones, and you feel it the minute they walk in the room, and that you just smile.
Yeah.
And that's Scott Duff. I mean, he has funny bones.
Yeah. And what I love about, you know, Scott Duff, and when I talk about like the funny people like Scott Duff, you, Alexandra, you know, what I love about you is being funny. That's great. You know, it's great if you're funny. But also, I think all three of you bring in such humanity. And so you can be serious.
Right.
And you can let people say when things are going on or how you really feel about a thing. And then, you know, you add the levity. And that's what allows other people to feel.
That's what's fun about it for me, if I can just say for 1 second. Like, what's fun about it for me is that as a performer, I'm often cast to be funny, right? Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Hope, you know, somewhere in the universe, somebody decided.
Because it's hard.
It's hard. Somebody
and
in the universe.
If you're good at it, right, they need you.
Like, if the universe has decided that's my skill set, then I am grateful, and I will keep doing it until people tell me I'm not funny anymore.
Yeah.
Now, what's great is to be able to come on a show like yours and speak from the heart.
Yeah.
And if something funny comes out of that, then it's really organic. And then it's really satisfying. If we sit here and we make each other laugh, which we often do, then that's you know, nothing that we say. We never plan anything. We may have a topic like, hey, you want to talk about such and such because it just happened. But we never plan anything.
Right.
So,
well, I do a little bit.
I don't.
I let you just go. As my daddy would say, you just let that horse run. I just let you run. You
know, my daddy would say, let that whore run. But we came from, that's the difference between The South and the North.
Or the South and the North. Yeah, but you're just like, I just love to let you go. Because that's why you're so good, you know? You don't need to know. I think Alex kind of trained me for you. Because Alex used to always say, when I used to be on Les by Gay Radio with her a moon ago, you know, she used to always say, I would say, well, we're going to do this, and then this person's going to come on, and then we're going to break for blood. You go, no. You just guide me. Just gently guide me. And sometimes you don't have to not so gently guide me. Just guide me.
Alex is the best. Like when you do her Katie's Corner show, which I've done a couple of times, she asks you to plan something to teach Katie, and you know full well that she will never let you get there.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Oh, no, you'll never end up finishing what she's asked you to start.
Yeah.
But she wants you to be very sincere about attempting to do this thing. But she will derail you.
She never did on the radio, thank God, because that would have been very different.
It's the genius of that show. It gets derailed at every turn.
But I think the great thing about you is that you just unleash and you just come in. And so really, you're my last person to thank as a co-host, just to say that, you know, there's nobody I would love to sit on a couch with more and talk. And I know sometimes we're like, I know I say that we don't have a time limit, but we like the shows to be an hour under because we hope they're easy for you to digest on your way to work.
Right,
or
to download on your iTunes.
Or to download on your iTunes. But honestly, if I was truly not thinking of all of you listeners out there, Mitchell and I would just sit here for 3 hours. We'd watch an episode of Glee and like talk through the whole thing, like Mystery Science Theater.
Like fucking live blog.
We'd still be going on the very first show we ever started.
I think we kind of are.
We take a little bit, so we snore a little bit. We fall asleep. We eat.
I've had two cups of tea in this time that we've been talking.
So, I mean, it's been such a delight. And I'm always sad when you leave for like these little 4 month breaks. Sometimes we get to podcasts, but I'm grateful that other people step in your stead. But it's always exciting too, because I think you come back refreshed and great stories. We find out how many people you've had sex with.
Exactly. And how young they are.
I'm still here. And you're out there, and it's really, really awesome. So thank you. Mr. Fain.
I love doing it.
And thank you to all of the people I just talked about. You know, there's some other contributing people who have over the years, if I miss anybody, you guys, I am not 20 anymore. So please, I tried with best effort to think of everybody. And if I didn't, I hope that listeners, if you have something favorite, you'll email us a comment or call in a comment, or wish us a happy 500. We'd love to hear from you. But Neil Paris, speaking of getting your beads read, so to speak, Neil Patrick Harris of New World Astrology was one of those people who he came on. Fascinating. We had him come on and talk to us a lot. I learned a lot about astrology. I'd love to get Neil back on the show, and maybe that's something I can do in 2013. The lovely Cynthia and David, who gave us our little bisexual sound bites for a while and had many conversations about bisexuality, and it's a very overlooked part. But as you and I talked about, you know, Alexander Billings straddling many boxes, you know.
I'm leaving that one alone.
Please do. But it's such a lovely image.
It is. You didn't even know you were going to say that. Amy said straddling many boxes and looked at me. She wanted me to let it go so that we wouldn't be derailed and take more time.
I kind of do. Because I envisioned this huge comedic physical bit with Alexander Billings straddling boxes.
Oh, you can't say straddling boxes and not expect me to respond.
I hope Alex will listen to at least this show.
Sweet Jesus. Okay,
go ahead.
As a
break from studying. But it's definitely something that they came to me and said, bisexuals, we need some talk about a voice and we need to do better at that. I mean, there's so many places we can do better at, and that's one of them too. Jerry Nunn, as you heard last week, given us some great interviews and has continued of late in the past year to bring us some celebrity interviews
None
when he gets them.
On the run.
None on the run. The lovely and talented Richard Knight Jr., who, as our movie critic, has really guided us in films that we know about, we don't know about, we should see, we should avoid. Also be in our Oscars show correspondent each year. The wonderful and one of my BFFs, Di Bowden, our podcast editor since 2008. I mean, really, I am a Luddite. I know you think I podcast everyone.
I know, and
but
I'm a Mennonite.
I know you're a Mennonite and I'm a Luddite. I know nothing about what happens. I talk. I know how to send it to Di, and Di makes the show sound really, really great.
Right, and the only reason why you know how is because Di told you how to do it.
Di told me how to do it. Right. Exactly. Peter and then Di. Andrew Davis, he is the editor of Windy City Times. He is, our news editor for the Queercast. He sends me a zillion stories that I can choose from, and then I whittle those down to enough just to give you hopefully some top diverse stories that are going on nationally, internationally, in entertainment each week. And he has been with us for all 500 shows. And the just delightful and steadfast Kirk Williamson, who is tireless as our Night Spots editor, our local GLBT nightlife magazine, but also has been my other news correspondent. And that was wonderful how that came about, you know, that he was like, I've always thought I would love reading the news. And I was like, why don't you come do it with me? Right. And so Kirk has been with me also for so many shows. I mean, definitely after 2008, once I started flying solo without Peter. I also just want to thank the Windy City Media Group family and team, especially Tracy Baim, for making GLBT Radio important after Lesbi Gay Radio and on to Windy City Radio, and being willing to take the plunge with podcasting. She's been such a pioneer, you know,
so many ways.
In emailing and events and the website for Windy City Media Group and the Queercast.
And her book about Obama.
Her book now about, gay press, which just came out, great holiday gift. And then Obama and the Gays, another great book for holidays, and producing movies like Hannah Free and Scrooge and Marley. And, you know, we were the first ever GLBT publication or paper to have an iPad app. And we were one of the first years ago to have an email list, to have a website. Wow. We were really, you know, we pioneered a lot of that on a national level. And we've had an iPad app and some of these things. I mean, we had a website long before many other mainstream publications or other niche publications. So just a visionary and tireless. And I want to thank those advertisers who have supported us. Definitely a lot of arts organizations have supported the work that we do here on the podcast. And then just the organizations we've spoken with, whether it be, Jim Pickett with the AIDS Foundation and Life Lube, talking to us about HIV and AIDS and many, many others. And, it's really kind of funny when I think back on some of the best interviews and shows of the year. I'm gonna give you a handful of those after we break for the news here, and tell you what else is going on in the world besides our 500th show. There are some other things happening.
There are.
And what all is going on in the entertainment scene? But we'll be back. There's just still more to talk about, more gratitude, and also some interesting topic that I want to talk to Mitchell about as a news story that just came across my desk last week.
Curious.
This December, Chicago's most beloved holiday tradition returns for 3 weeks only. Gather your family and friends as the Joffrey Ballet presents the 25th anniversary celebration of the Nutcracker. Revel in the magic with brilliant costumes, larger-than-life scenery, entrancing storytelling, beautiful artistry, and Tchaikovsky's famous score performed by a live orchestra. It's a grand showcase of talent, proclaims the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Washington Post calls it a theatrical event of irresistible power. It's America's number one Nutcracker at the Auditorium Theater, December 7th through the 27th. Tickets start at just $31. Order yours today. Best seats are going fast. Call 800-982-2787 or visit us online at joffrey.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Merck & Company, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world and a corporate donor of the Boy Scouts of America, has announced that the company will cease future funding to the Boy Scouts until the organization ends its anti-gay stance. Merck's decision came after Scouts for Equality successfully petitioned Intel and UPS, two large corporate donors of the Boy Scouts, to discontinue funding.
The FBI's 2011 hate crime statistics have revealed that for the first time, crimes directed against individuals on the basis of sexual orientation are the second most frequent hate crime committed after crimes based on race. Surpassing crimes committed on the basis of religion, the number of reported hate crimes committed against gay men and lesbians increased from 1,277 in 2010 to 1,293 in 2011.
In Maine, Portland will probably be the site of the state's first same-sex wedding. The city announced that it will open its municipal offices from 12:01 to 3:01 a.m. on Saturday, December 29th, the day the state law allowing same-sex marriage takes effect to issue marriage licenses and perform weddings. Portland's announcement could prompt other communities to follow suit, since most municipal offices in Maine don't have Saturday hours.
In Tennessee, LGBT rights activists demonstrated in Memphis, Nashville, and Cookeville to call on President Obama to issue an executive order barring federal contractors from practicing job bias based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Last year, Governor Bill Haslam signed a law that banned cities from passing LGBT non-discrimination ordinances. Activists have also launched an online petition at the White House website.
A Chicago-area spa is facing down discrimination allegations after management told a transgender person he could not use the spa's men's shower area. Levi Pine, a Chicago transgender man, has filed an Illinois Department of Human Rights complaint against King Spa and Sauna in Niles after a manager told him he would have to use a private shower or leave. One of the sauna's managers said he recognizes that transgender people are a minority and said that he treats all of his customers the same. However, he claimed he didn't want other customers to feel uncomfortable.
The University of California Hastings College of the Law named married lesbian veteran Elizabeth L. Hillman as the school's new academic dean. Hillman joined the UC Hastings faculty in 2007 after earning her PhD in history and JD from Yale Law School. Hillman and wife Trish Colbert are raising five children in their Berkeley home.
A gay man who works at Macy's is being called a hero for helping customers safely escape an Oregon mall when a gunman opened fire. Alan Fonseca, who works at the Lancome makeup counter inside Macy's at Clackamas Town Center Mall, helped several people escape the firepower. The gunman had been identified as Jacob Tyler Roberts, who killed two people before turning the gun on himself.
In an interview on Hardball with Chris Matthews, lesbian New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn condemned Supreme Court Justice Anton Scalia's latest comments regarding homosexuality. Scalia recently spoke at Princeton University where, while answering a student's question, he said, "If we cannot have moral feelings against homosexuality, can we have it against murder? Can we have it against other things?" Quinn called Scalia's remark offensive, adding, "Don't compare me to a murderer because I'm a lesbian."
New York State Senator Stephen Saland, one of four Republicans who backed marriage equality legislation that passed last year, conceded defeat in his bid for re-election. The 11-term incumbent from Hudson Valley officially ended his long legal battle for his seat. Democrat Terry Gibson will succeed him.
More than 50 LGBT and immigration advocacy groups have renewed the call for the Obama administration to take action on behalf of bi-national same-sex couples. The development, in the form of a letter to Obama and other officials, happened in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to take up litigation challenging DOMA.
In world news, British Prime Minister David Cameron has confirmed that he supports same-sex marriage for religious institutions. Speaking at an event, he said, "I'm a massive supporter of marriage, and I don't want gay people to be excluded from a great institution." However, he added that he would not attempt to force any church, synagogue, or mosque to host a same-sex wedding.
L.A.-based clothing company American Apparel has promised it will give away 10,000 legalized gay T-shirts in France in an effort to support the passing of a marriage equality bill in that country. France is set to vote next year on a bill to legalize same-sex marriage.
In Russia, Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev is opposed to a pending national version of a homosexual propaganda law that has already been enacted in regions and cities such as St. Petersburg. The leader of United Russia said during a TV interview that he believed the bill was unnecessary because not all relations between people can be regulated by law. Medvedev's comments won praise from pro-LGBT advocates, including Lady Gaga.
Uruguay has moved closer to legalizing gay marriage after the lower house of Congress approved a marriage equality law. The measure, which passed by a wide margin, now goes to the Senate and is expected to be approved. It would make Uruguay the second South American country after Argentina to allow same-sex marriages.
In entertainment news, John Travolta has scored a legal victory. Robert Randolph, who wrote You'll Never Spa in This Town Again and provided the basis for a 2010 Gawker article called The Secret Sex Life of John Travolta, sued Travolta in June, claiming he damaged Randolph's reputation. The case was dismissed in September. However, on December 7th, an L.A. Superior Court judge awarded Travolta nearly $140,000 in legal fees and costs.
Bravo will premiere an all-new season of Kathy, the weekly primetime talk show that Emmy Award winner Kathy Griffin hosts, on Thursday, January 10th. Also, Kathy has named her next stand-up special. It's going to be called Kathy Griffin, Kennedy Center Honors. Premiere Thursday, January 3rd.
Liz Carmouche, age 28, is the first openly gay competitor signed to the Ultimate Fighting Championship, or UFC. The UFC has had a history tainted with anti-gay sentiment, and some see her joining as a sign of progress.
Gay couple Josh Kilmer Purcell and Brent Ridge, formerly known as the fabulous Beekman Boys from their own reality series, won the latest edition of CBS's The Amazing Race. The final challenge had them matching up the words for hello and goodbye from each of the nine countries they visited on their adventures.
Gay icon and The Hobbit actor Sir Ian McKellen is battling prostate cancer and has been doing so for quite some time. The British actor, now 73, has not undergone treatment for the disease and instead has regular tests to ensure it hasn't spread.
The White Party Palm Springs announced that for the 2013 party, they will be crowning Miami Real Housewife Adriana DeMora as queen, anointing Amazing Race runner-up and Chippendale star James Vaughn as official ambassador, and bestowing the title of Dame to the Diva Madam. Together, they will host the white carpet VIP arrival Saturday night, March 30th, at the Palm Springs Convention Center. The White Party is March 29th through 31st, 2013.
ESPN 980 has suspended sports talk show host Steve Sabin and Andy Pollin after they mocked transgender college basketball player Gabrielle Ludwig. The duo mocked Ludwig's appearance and called her he, she, and it, and said transgender people should not play sports. The duo then issued a 10-second apology for calling Ludwig and it. ESPN 980 said in a statement that such intolerance and insensitivity will never be tolerated by this company.
Lindsay Lohan's probation has been revoked, and the Trouble actress will learn January 15th if she's headed back to jail. The actress did not appear for the December 12th arraignment in Los Angeles on charges stemming from an incident last June when Lohan crashed her Porsche on the Pacific Coast Highway and then allegedly lied to police. Across the country, Lohan still faces possible legal action for allegedly punching a woman in the face at Avenue Nightclub in New York City just last month.
The late disco queen Donna Summer will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year. Among the others who will also be inducted are satirist Randy Newman, rap group Public Enemy, rock band Heart, and Canadian act Rush.
And the second season of TNT's Dallas, which premieres next month, will air a funeral for the late Larry Hagman's iconic character, J.R. Ewing. Ewing will be laid to rest on the eighth episode of the new season, slated to air on March 11th. Hagman filmed six episodes for the remake's second season before his death.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite gal, Amy.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 17th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. About Face Theater invites you to their Jeff-recommended world premiere musical, We Three Lizes, one of Chicago's Tribune's top 10 shows for the season. Time Out magazine calls it undeniably original and joyously queer. Enjoy holiday cocktails and crooners in Liza's Lounge at 7 p.m. on show nights, 3 p.m. on matinees before Liza takes the stage. For tickets, visit aboutfacetheater.com. We Three Lizes runs at Steppenwolf Garage, now through December 23rd.
And this December, do not miss the extraordinary world premiere of Wasteland, now playing at Chicago's award-winning Timeline Theater. More than 15 critics agree that you should see this show, including Windy City Times' Jonathan Barbanal, who praised the honest, remarkable, and totally committed performances of actors Nate Berger and Steve Haggard. For tickets to Wasteland, visit TimelineTheater.com. That's TimelineTheater.com.
The Holiday Classic returns, now in its 36th year. Black Ensemble Theater presents Jackie Taylor's The Other Cinderella, playing now through January 13th at Black Ensemble Theater, 4450 North Clark Street. Everyone is welcome to the Kingdom of Other. So visit blackensembletheater.org and order your tickets today for The Other Cinderella. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
On some of my favorite shows, Mitchell, you know, I think of my very first show was with the lesbian writer Sarah Waters, who was named as like the Entertainment Weekly's, you know, one of the top books of the year. And she wrote a series of books. Her, you know, her most famous, I think, was Tipping the Velvet, which was about women in Victorian era. Her first three novels, all about the Victorian England era.
I thought that was about Cunnilingus.
It is.
Oh.
It is. Oh, it is. Okay. Well, it is, kind of. Yes. Okay. It all is, though. Isn't it?
Isn't really?
Isn't everything? Yeah.
She's a cunning linguist.
She's a cunning linguist, which is what they say about me. So anyhow, but I was so excited after reading all of her books. I don't think I've ever had an author on that I had read more of her material, and to have her on while she was visiting from England was super, super cool. Cheyenne Jackson. Nicest man you will ever want to meet. And in all of my years of being on radio and the podcast, one of the few who ever emailed me immediately as soon as he heard the interview, personally emailed me, not his press agent, not anybody else, and talked to me about what a great interview it was and how lovely it was to be on with me.
Aww.
And
he's friends with some very good friends of mine in New York, from several different groups of my friends, and they all say the same thing about him. The report on him from every turn, whether it's people I know who know him professionally, you who have interviewed him, friends of mine who go to Fire Island with him, friends who have done, are related to him.
Yep.
All say the same thing. A classy, wonderful, funny, warm man.
Absolutely.
And he looks like that.
Absolutely. Yes, and he looks like that.
Son of a
Which is bitch. Tough to swallow. Or not.
Oh, I bet it's tough to swallow.
I bet it is, too. For me, two of my, I would call them my superhero fantasies come true, were getting to interview Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
Mm, well.
Which, come on. Just
no,
my,
seriously.
Come on. Like, brilliant. And it was a smart interview, and she allowed me to gush. And then also to interview Lucy Lawless after all of my excursions with the... with the fabulous Xena Live shows here in Chicago, and is how I met our editor Di, and even really got to know Alexander Billings. So it all kind of connects. And I also will tell you that first impressions are first impressions, but they may not be the truth. And my analogy for that is that I interviewed Jennifer Beals years ago when she was on The L Word, but she wasn't promoting The L Word, and I interviewed her over the phone. And it was I hope even if she heard this, she'd be okay with it. It was the hardest interview of my life. She was chilly. She was cold. She was distant. She could have been having a bad day. But even an actor usually can move right. past it, right? And I thought, I don't know that I, you know, it just changed my perception of her. Not that I would badmouth her. I didn't tell tons of people that or anything. Right. But I thought, that interview will sound like what that interview sounds like.
Right.
And I very much, I know what people are trying to promote. And I was going to promote what she was going to promote, which was a fundraising thing, you know. But she was just, she was tough. And it also goes to show you, because I interview a lot of people, like you and I, luckily, most of the time, unless you're on a boat, you know, get to talk sitting here very close, face to face. And I wish I got to interview. If we had a massive budget, I'd get to fly people in and interview
and
them
the kitchen,
like the TV, right? You know, I mean, or sit in a studio or whatever. But oftentimes I'm interviewing people over Skype or over the phone. Sometimes I can see them. Sometimes I can't. I mean, it's only been of recent years that I've been even able to see them, you know. But I interviewed her again, and I almost didn't. And I remember when the press person said, do you want to interview, the Dalai Lama's coming to town? And I was like, fantastic. And they were like, I said, is he doing interviews? And they were like, no. But, you know, the man who's the head of one of the big, you know, groups that's bringing him into town is coming to town. And we want to know if you wanted to interview Jennifer Beals. And I was like, okay, hold on. The Dalai Lama is coming to town. You want me to interview Jennifer Beals? Like, I didn't. It didn't make a connection with me at all. And
they
wouldn't to you either.
They wear the same designer.
They wear the same designer, the same muumuus, the same robes. And I said, I didn't understand it. And he said, no, no, no. She is aligned herself as a spokesperson, because she was at the time living in Chicago filming a television show. She's aligned herself as a spokesperson for his appearance here. And I thought, huh. And I said, okay, well, you know, I've got 15 minutes. You can give me the phone number, blah, blah, blah. And he said, no, I'd really like you to do it face-to-face. And I thought, oh, God. I mean, she's Jennifer Beals. She's beautiful.
Right, of course.
I mean, she's my hottie McHottie from the L Word. But I just kind of thought, I don't know, you know, a bad interview doesn't make it worth, you know, a schlep and prepping it and all that. And but I'm so grateful that I said, okay. Because he was insistent. He said, come do it. I'll give you the last interview of the day, and you'll interview both of them. The organization that's bringing the Dalai Lama in and Jennifer Beals. And I have to say, it was one of the most powerful and wonderful interviews I've ever been a part of, and conversations that I've ever been a part of for as LGBT people, and the work that the Dalai Lama is trying to do to break, to straddle boxes and to break down barriers and heal us as a people, not as a country, not as GLBT people, just heal us as a people, you know, with a sense of humanity that goes beyond religion, a sense of just authenticity. And I had such a wonderful day with her that day, and I didn't get to tell her, you know, but I'm saying it now. I didn't get to tell her, like, I, you know, would not have shown up for that. And I'm grateful that I did. And I now feel like, you know, sometimes you just have to be face to face with somebody. And sometimes you just get somebody on a day that's not a good day.
Right.
You know, but that was really significant. And then I guess, you know, talking with Judy Shepherd, always amazing. She came on and really encouraged everybody to vote in that 2007. In 2007, she encouraged everybody to really get on the campaign trail for 2008.
Right.
And make that year, make a difference. And that year was a big year of change, you know, for our nation. And then super significant. And you know, we had two interviews that I think are super significant. And they're kind of those things of, like, before it all happened. One is a story of tragedy, and one is a story of absolutely, you know, a shooting star and a rising comet. And that is, I interviewed Jennifer Hudson 3 days before her mother and sister and nephew were brutally murdered. And so, you know, it was so strange to be, sometimes I record an interview and then I don't air it until, you know, I don't usually air it within 24 hours.
Right.
And so by the time we aired the interview, you know, this had just happened.
Ugh.
So it was very interesting to hear her talk about loving Chicago and being home and just what was starting to happen to her world.
Uh-huh.
And it was all just starting to happen, as we know, when that tragic moment happened, and her generosity just to come on the show. And her beginnings here in Chicago on so many levels, and her support of the gay community. And then the other was a very unknown singer who I was approached to come and perform at one of our gay idol events. in 2008, who had a little EP out that I thought was really catchy and really fun, and she didn't need to be paid. And I said, okay, if she wants to come, she can come and sing while we, you know, count votes, and she can sign CDs. Yes, and yes, I guess she's launching a big CD, and her name was Lady Gaga, and that was June of 2008, and she came on the show, you know, a couple of months after, you know, I hung out with her, and she appeared at our Gay Idol finals, and you know, talked to her as she was building the anticipation of launching that first CD, The Fame Monster, and 3 months after that interview aired, you know, and she was doing a lot of interviews, so we weren't the only ones, but you know, she was opening the Grammy Awards, and
amazing.
Just amazing. So
yeah,
you know,
she went from like Madonna. I mean, she often gets compared to Madonna, but like
even like, faster than Madonna.
Like Madonna,
honestly.
I don't know. I mean, I sort of felt like there was this one point. It was like 1983. I said to this guy in my class, my math class, "Have you seen that chick Madonna on MTV?" And then 20 seconds later, I feel like she was the biggest star in the world. It's like, that's what happened with Gaga.
Yeah, it really did. Really, really.
And now
did.
She's being considered for Barbara's version of Gypsy.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, Barbara was...
To play Gypsy Rose Lee?
Yeah, Barbara wants Lady Gaga to play Gypsy Rose Lee. And of course, you know, Lady Gaga went to theater school.
Yeah.
Right? So she's an actress first.
Oh, of course she
wouldn't
is.
That be
you
great,
can totally
wouldn't
tell.
That be amazing?
Barbara and Lady Gaga.
Barbara playing Lady Gaga's mother.
I can see it, too.
Come on.
That's genius.
Anyway.
I like it so much better than Carrie Underwood playing Maria Von Trapp.
I know. We can't even talk about that. That's just...
I don't hate it. I just don't.
Well,
it's
I mean,
just awfully
I'll
American.
I'll listen to the score.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch her acting.
It's going to be interesting live, but there you go.
There you go.
That's fantastic. Okay. So that's my thank yous. Those are my thoughts. Thank you all
You've
so much.
You've had a lot
for...
of amazing adventures. Let me just say this about you, Amy.
Amazing adventures, Amy right?
Amy Matheny is one of those people, and it's this expression is a cliche, and I don't know if it's from Amy's family, who I know very well, who are beautiful people, or from where she comes from, the South, and that sort of the friendliness of Southern people. But Amy is one of those people who has never met a stranger.
Amy That's
is,
true.
So what Amy does, what you do, mm-hmm. which I think is really beautiful, and I think that people respond to, people who listen, is that you are always interested. You never suffer from lack of an opinion on something. You're always informed, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And like me, we like to talk. But more than anything, you listen. And you create a space when you interview people. I'm going to respond to what you said about Cheyenne Jackson saying this. You create a space for people when you interview them to really express themselves, not in a way that's canned or in a way that like you, because I'm promoting something or I'm trying to, you allow people to express themselves in the way that they want to, whether it's comically or mm-hmm. with bad words or good words or spiritually or non-spiritual, whatever. And I think that that is, that's why there's been 500 shows, is that you create a space for people to just chat it out. You feel, I mean, like, even though I get to be the person who gets to sit on the couch and look at your beautiful Christmas tree, I think you make everybody feel like they're sitting on your couch. And that's a really nice quality.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody, thank you for the 500 shows, and on to 500 more,
mm-hmm.
I hope, and that we stay sharing our lives and our stories of coming out and entertainment and celebrity and the tough stories, the things we still have to strive for, protecting our kids, our young people, protecting and garnering equality for ourselves.
And not
ourselves.
Even kids that we made ourselves, just children.
Yeah,
children,
LGBT
young people
the bullying
who need us. And our straight allies.
Yeah.
Because that's why we need to convince our brother-in-laws, and we need to convince our sister-in-law's mother and Brad mm-hmm. Pitt's mother. And mm-hmm. we all need to keep standing up.
Yeah. And just, you know, having yourself be a little more authentic a day at a time, the best you can. This is an important forum just to have our voices, and a radical thing just to have our voices be
it
heard.
It is radical.
And our stories to be told. We're going to have the year in review shows coming up in the next couple of shows with Andrew Davis, and talk about what were those big news stories of the past year. It's always a little reflective this time of year, but I like that. I like looking back, not with morbid reflection, but just like looking back, looking how far we've come, and I'm sure looking forward, as we've already said, with this U.S. Supreme Court hearing Prop 8 and DOMA trial, what are we moving toward?
Ooh,
it's exciting.
It is exciting.
It's just been an exciting journey, all 500 shows of what we've been able to move toward and how fast stuff happens. Go Bama. It's actually been very impressive what's happened with that man.
It's exciting.
So I know, just really quick, we have like 60 seconds, but you're excited about seeing Les Mis. You're excited about seeing the new Barbra Streisand movie.
The guilt trip. My Christmas day will be this. Spent with my dear friend Abby Suskin, who's half Jew.
Therefore, only gets one egg roll.
Exactly. And we've known each other since she was 12. And we will go to the Elysium Cafe at Clark and Foster, and we will get crepes. And then we will go to see a double feature of The Guilt Trip and Les Mis.
Yep.
And then we will probably go to Andy's for Middle Eastern food.
Yes.
And then we will slowly sip designer cocktails that her brilliant boyfriend will have created for us.
It sounds like a beautiful, beautiful holiday. I
will
be with family, and I hope that you are celebrating or just enjoying the spirit of the holiday, whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate. Just try not to isolate. Instead of, if you're not going to celebrate, just don't isolate. That's always my two cents. And it can be a blue time. It can be a tough time. You know, show up for somebody else. There's probably somebody having a tougher time than you. And that's just always a good rule of thumb. If you feel lonely, just go out and try to be a part of and be in the middle
of. Is there anything better than a Christmas Day walk?
It's nothing better than a Christmas Day walk.
It's so great.
It's so great. I'm going to take a Christmas Day walk with Nilla and think of you.
I love it.
All right, everybody. We'll be back with the year in review with Andrew Davis and Kate Sawson of the Windy City Times on our next show. But happy 500.
Happy 500.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Hi, this is Di Lish, production editor for the Windy City Queercast. Cleaning up after the talent is not as easy as some may think. Amy and her posse make it sound easy, but let's just say it's up to you-know-who to make it that way. It can definitely be very amusing. Here are a few of my favorite fuck-ups. Enjoy!
And this is your Windy's...
Oh, sorry.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Don't touch me. Grammy win...
Farrell has appeared in movies such as Phone Booth and At the Home...
A Colorado lesbian couple arrested in
Have fun, Di.
Mommy!
The Williams Institute at UCLA Law School announced that a $5.5 million... The Williams Institute at USC...
Seen with her everywhere while her husband Blake Filder?
I think so.
Is that right? Filder?
Yeah. You can just say Blake Filder. She'll edit that in.
Blake Filder... Civil. What?
His hyphenated name.
Is that his name? Blake Filder Civil?
Yes.
That's the stupidest name on the planet. Tell him to change it.
All right.
A California teacher who claims he was forced to quit after committing... it's that kind of day.
A Colorado lesbian couple arrested 2000... I'm going to kick my own ass.
A lesbian and gay hotel brand was launched called...
A legislator's attempt to ban discussion of homosexuality in Tennessee schools died in a house... What?
Bad boy actor Colin Farrell is playing...
A new gay travel social network... A new gay travel...
Yeah! How's it feel?
Reports recently surfaced that the 24-year-old crooner worked as a stripper for a Phoenix club frequented mostly...
The Williams Institute at UCLA Law School announced that a five point no. Mm-hmm. The Williams Institute at UCLA.
I'm sorry.
Kick my ass.
I know.
Republican Oklahoma State Senator Rep.
The New York City mother was sentenced to 15 years to life for the murder of her 23-month-old son. Holy shit.
And it's only coming to. Start again.
The Williams...
It's not that funny. You need to let me do it as Hepburn. It'll be easier.
Family drama unspools over an unusual lunch date.
The new comedy will focus on the friendship of two men, one gay and one straight. Nella, come here.
In 2006, voters approved of a ballot measure that amended the state constitution. In 2006, voters approved of a... Oh, I'm going to kill myself.
The Williams Institute at UCLA Law School announced...
Shit, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm done. Okay, okay.
Frequented... I'm going to start the whole thing again.
Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Die, we're coming back.
Is this still recording? Hello, Amy Matheny. Ladies and gentlemen, Amy Matheny.
Archbishop.
It was like 3 words in one.
That was like 20 words in one. She loves it. I think she's going to keep all these snorts and things at some point. Laughs.
That'll make
weird things
show.
That I say. That's a whole show. Our blooper reel.